So we waited a really long time for South African Test cricket to return, and what we got was a lot of rain. Out of the 450 overs, only about 290 were actually bowled. And the rain played a massive part in the first match between South Africa and the West Indies. Now, the game obviously ended in a draw, but it was quite exciting, and there were bits and moments that gave us a little bit of the picture that we can look forward to in the second test. Now, that first test has a lot of talking points, and some because my guy, the dot of the day, Kuv, brought up in the last episode that he didn't think De Zorzi was going to do too well. He was really vocal about Stubbs. And he also thought that the West Indian openers weren't going to make more than 30 in a partnership. So I'm going to come straight to him and ask him what he made of that first match.
Yeah, well, boy, mom, I got it wrong there. I'm still not convinced by De Zorzi. I think that he played a decent innings, but we can't look too much into the second innings because that was like more an ODI style. Mm. And if you go back to the first innings, take away those two sixes that he hit, it was nothing special. I mean, he did his job, but I'm still not convinced. He still needs to do a little bit more for me. Stubbs did look good. He left well out of the off stump at the start of his innings, but again, just got caught out at the end. Second innings, again, ODI style innings that plays into his hands. So he still hasn't been tested at a test level temperament. So let's see how he goes. I mean, but it was a fair start. I mean, you can't say he failed. He's got some runs. So that's good. And as far as the West Indies openers go, credit to them, but we'll get into it. I was not convinced by Lungi at all. So South Africa didn't bowl necessarily well until Kesh came on. So let's go there. That was another of my predictions that went wrong. I thought he was just going to hold up one end and the Pacers were going to get wickets from the other. But why Nandre wasn't in the side, I don't know. But we'll get into it.
Yeah, and I think we should talk exactly about that. I'm glad you called out yourself there about Kesh. I actually forgot about that. You said, you're probably chipping with a few, but he bowled really well. We'll give him that. Out of the 290-something overs that we bowled, Kesh bowled 66 overs and four balls. Absolutely ridiculous. Just that alone is a feat on its own. And to back that up with all the wickets, the amount of turn he got with the new ball was absolutely ridiculous. And it's not something like the pitch was just a straight-up rank turner. I mean, Warrican and Gurukesh, Moti, they managed to do bits, but
Kesh
just bowled really well, and to have a spinner that could basically just give you a second option the whole game, literally the whole game. He was opening the bowling. Ridiculous. Now, you came onto Lungi there, and I think that is a massive problem. Absolute passenger. Yeah, he bowled something like 14 overs in the test. Aiden Markram bowled 20. What on earth?
Absolutely ridiculous. How about his cockiness at the end when he took the final wicket in the first innings? I mean, like, it doesn't matter what the batsman said. But, I mean, like, you bullshit, bro. Like, I don't know what you're trying to prove.
He bowled absolutely ridiculously crap. I know when we spoke about it previously, I mean, you did point out very rightly so that he did quite decently in the warm-up. He in patches, he looked good. And I also thought that, as I said in the previous episode, he managed to get quite a bit of movement in the air with the ball. And I thought, maybe you're going to see a return of some sort of good Lungi. But I was having a chat and I was telling someone that it's been a while since we've seen Lungi look like anything ready for the top tier for international cricket.
It's been absolutely shocking. Like, it's been like 10 kgs ago. So
I mean, fitness or whatever it may be, he just does not look like a cricketer that is going to get you wickets. And I think Nandri should feel really hard done by.
I was about to say, I mean, no matter how much we tried and I tried to hype him up after the warm-up game, he didn't necessarily do enough to say that I'm above Nandre in the pecking order. And I mean, Nandre hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, he's played two test matches, taken 11 wickets. I mean, what more do you want? Like, what did he do to not warrant a starting place?
We seem to always fall into this, uh, this hole in South African cricket where we keep these young players that have put their hands up immediately. You know, when you get your break as a young cricketer, they say, or in general in sport, you get your chance. All you want from young players to put their hand up so that they can be counted and possibly get a few more opportunities to go ahead and make their way. We've had quite a few across the board amongst the batsmen and the bowlers that have done exactly what you want them to do. Put their hands up immediately. Just never get their shout after that. And I think Andre can really feel hard done by. I mean, you could argue whether or not he belonged in the starting 11 in the World Cup. He was in that squad or as a reserve, sitting just there waiting to play a match like Gerald could have shouted in the World Cup. And now I think if we go into the second test with Nadir on the bench again, I think it's a real problem. Now, we'll get to that in a bit. The West Indies team, what do you make of the batting? I think Casey Carty was quite decent at three there. We're talking about threes. He looks like... Look, I know a lot of people will say that, I mean, he didn't even get a 50 in the match, but he showed a lot there. He showed a lot there that looks like the making of a future number three. And then Alec Athanase in that second innings. The sweeps were out to show. He held together so well. Yeah. And I think we missed the trick there. I think Tema missed the trick. We shuffled the field around a bit, put a few men down deep, square leg, and there, bots, but no one in a catching position other than almost a Tsilly. And I think we gave him a bit too much of a break. Eventually, he catched him up trumps.
Yeah. I was actually at the end of that second innings, at the end of that West Indies second innings, I was actually scared. Not at the end.
They could make the score.
With 15 overs to go. I mean, okay, credit to South Africa. They tried to make a game of it. But, I mean, 280 was way too fine. Like, they should have batted with a little bit more intent. I mean, they batted with intent. I mean, Stubbs was 60 out of 50. But prior to that, I mean, Markram and Dzorzi, they scored at a higher than normal test rate. But if you were definitely going to go for a declaration, they should have went a bit harder.
I agree.
You must know, like, it's a different case. It's a different case if you lose two or three early wickets. But your openers then go hard. Agreed. And, I mean, they were both in. So if they scored if they batted another 10 overs and added 70 to the score, then I would have said, okay, declaration, West Indies scored 350 plus, that's a bit difficult. But 280, that was highly gettable because I was doing some quick maths in my head. That if for those last 12, 15 overs, they scored at 7, 8 and over, they would have got the score. And they were scoring at 5s. So
they got to a point, I think 20 overs out, they needed just over 6 and over, which was very gettable. And at the point, Athanase was going quite well. Him and Kevin Bodge seemed to have rescued things a bit for a bit there. And I was like, there's a chance here. There's always a chance. And we know that West Indian cricketers can go hard.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was unlucky that Athanase got out. But I think even before he got out, I think they were resigned to drawing the match. So if they pushed a little bit harder, because I was watching that, and I actually didn't watch the last, let's call it 7 or 8 overs, because I knew they were playing for the draw. Like, I was waiting to see if there was going to be an acceleration for them to try and get the win. So, I mean, like I said, good on South Africa for trying to make a game of it. But I don't think we can read too much into either second innings, except from Athanase playing a brilliant innings.
Yeah, so. He showed quite a bit of grit there.
And I want to touch on something that you said earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke about Lungi. We know KG is our one gun. And I think it says a lot, irrespective of the match situation, I think it says a lot that we opened with cash. It means we don't trust Lungi or Mulder, for that matter, to bowl overs to get wickets. Because at the end of the day, we knew we had to take the wickets. But I mean, 8 times, 9 times out of 10 in a test match, you've got two seamers opening the bowling. There was 100%. It just showed that Temba had no confidence in Lungi in trying to make some headway. And Kesh getting a wicket after three balls didn't do that any. Any favors?
No favors whatsoever. In his post-match interview, Temba did give away a little without trying to. They obviously probed into it and they asked him what did he make of the bowling performance and all of that. And he said, Kesh and KG and the rest of the guys. And then he smiled and he said they were good. But I think he backed the bowlers. We're coming back to that thing about declaring at like 280. I think he backed the bowlers and he thought that possibly will get done. But looking in hindsight now, as it is always 2020, they're probably not going to select Lungi again. And they're probably going to try and put more runs on the board if they do. And I think Mulder, as the other one, again, offered us barely anything with the ball. Now, we criticized him a lot in the previous episode. And I think with the bat, he was fairly decent. He held it up well in that first inning. So it helped us get to the score that we did eventually get to that made the match situation possible. But I think if you're going to select him as a batsman, there's not enough there. You'd rather go ahead and select another out and out bowler. Or, like we said, they could just bring in Pretorius, who offers you an option with the bat, a little bit with the bat, but a lot more with the ball, which we definitely need. So whether Pretorius comes in for Lungi, or we bring in Nandri and Pretorius in the next game, something needs to change.
From my side, if Lungi gets selected again, then I'm going to double down on my criticism of Shukri Conrad and the selection structure. Because then it's just been that it's him playing favorites, trying to give him a chance, trying to prove that he's right, or that he was initially right to select Lungi for whatever reason. But I mean, it's plain for everybody to see. It's not like we're sitting here top-level analysts for BCCI or wherever you want us to be. But we can see that, I mean, Lungi was just a passenger in that game. And in the field, he offers you also next to nothing.
Imran Tahir. Nothing and he bats last.
Imran Tahir is better than freaking Lungi in the field.
I mean, it's the same reason Tabrez Shamsi doesn't get a game anywhere else outside of South Africa, because he doesn't offer you anything else. Lungi is in a real problem, and it's sad. It's sad to watch what was once one of our best young cricketers, to see his career path go this way, but it's life. It's happened now, and we have a lot of other options that we're doing a disservice to if we keep letting Lungi play. Much like what I was criticizing about selecting Patterson, you got Lungi there and you're doing the same thing anyway. So whether you play Patterson or Lungi, it's the same thing. Just to touch on the West Indies one more time before we move on to the next test, Craig Brathwaite, that shot in the second innings that he got out, I don't think I ever expected that. We spoke a lot about West Indian cricket and how they tend to do these things. And Craig Brathwaite was always the one that I said, nah, he's a proper test cricketer. Never going to come. Second innings, they start off, boom, bang, shang-a-lang, throws hands, and what the hell? Completely unexpected. So as much as you got it wrong with the opening partnership, I don't think I saw enough from him to suggest that I would be him being the highest scorer.
But I think what he was doing was exactly what South Africa should have done. He was like, okay, we're going to go first two or three batsmen. Let's go a little bit hard. See if we can make some headway and then maybe we can actually chase the score down. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. And then at the Nays, he held it together. And I must say both innings, I was quite impressed by Jason Alder's batting. He left well. Yeah, he defended well. He apart from at the Nays in the second innings, he, I think, was the standout batsman because he was batting when in both innings when West Indies were in a bit of trouble. So surprising, but kudos to him.
Yeah, he looked assured throughout that. And then talking about that, coming into a situation where West Indies were trying to hold together, Josh De Silva looks shocking. What has happened in a couple of weeks? It looked all sorts, licorice all sorts. I do not understand. Yeah. We saw absolutely nothing from him. Maybe we'll see more in the second test. But I think he could have possibly gone on in the second innings. Now we'll get to the second test. Of course, we had a lot of rain in this first one in Trini. Now we go to Guyana next, the Providence Stadium, where a lot of cricket hasn't been played for a long time. I think the last test match that was played there was in 2011 and West Indies won that against Pakistan, if I'm not mistaken. Now we get test cricket back there. The previous few matches that were played, they were in the World Cup. Rank Turner at times, a lot of wickets for the spinners. You think Kesh is going to come up trumps in the next one again? And is the rain going to play a part? Because there are some showers predicted for throughout the 5 days. Now, I don't know if AccuWeather is going to give us the truth here, or are we going to get a bit lucky and get more than the 290 overs we had in the previous one?
I mean, surely we must get more. I mean, if we don't and we don't get a result in that match, then, I mean, South African Test cricket is just cursed. And I mean, surely there must be a result. Either way,
yeah,
I don't think it's going
to
be.
The organizers had to have thought about this.
Yeah, no, but it's interesting that they've selected a venue that hasn't had Test cricket in well over 10 years. So I'm not sure if that's marketing strategy, finances. I don't
yeah,
know.
I think they weird. Try. They pumped about $30 million into restoring Providence Stadium, and I think they okay. tried to push it back into their international scene. Good on them for trying to give the people of Guyana some cricket, and I'm pretty sure they deserve it.
Saint.
Passionate supporters, yeah.
Well, if the World Cup is anything to go by, then KS should have a field day again. I personally wouldn't play a second specialist spinner. I'd still go with Markram. Like you said, he bowled like 20 odd overs. I think our seam department need more work. And if anything, trial by fire. Go there and get the job done. I don't think it's going to do us any favors by shielding them with a second spinner. They just need to go improve themselves. Give Nandre a chance. Let him steam in.
Yeah.
Give Nandre a chance. Let him steam in. Take 3 or 4 wickets. And you see, the thing is, in my opinion, we need fire. Fire from our seamers.
Yeah.
At least in the first 10 overs. We know we get that from KG. But on the other end, what is it going to be? Kesh with his slow left arm, wicket to wicket.
It's exactly what it's going to come to, because even if you look at KG at the moment, okay, he's been bowling longer spells because of the match situation and Lungi wasn't offering us much. But KG is, as he's evolved in his Test cricket career, his pace has dropped a little bit. And I don't think that's because of age or anything. It's just probably conservation of stamina and that kind of thing, because he knows he's going to bowl longer spells. He's getting up 140 clicks thereabouts, but we don't have an out-and-out gun bowler that's going to rattle you up at the top. And I think that's what people like Nandre and Gerald offer you, which Lungi can't do. And as good as Miguel Pretorius has been, he can reach the upper 140s, but he's still not going to click you in at 150. Seeing a zinging ball at 150 fly past your head will make any batsman think. And,
no,
and
exactly.
that's what Test cricket goes back to. Harsh fast bowling. It's supposed to be hostile. We need a little bit of that up top, definitely. And I think you're spot on there with that. I think Nandre would be the perfect shot. I'm all for it. Even if he fails, he deserves the opportunity.
No, 100%.
There's nothing to suggest that anyone else is going to do anything better. So
he's not going to do worse than Lungi. So.
Exactly. Well, worse than Lungi would mean taking one less wicket than one wicket, which is no wickets. But there's not much to shout about.
I've got an idea. I was thinking about this, because we know that Lungi selection, De Zorzi selection, all of that comes down to what it comes down to. Okay.
Yeah.
But I've got a solution for this, and I thought about this. You know, just in football, how they've got all these metrics that happen, and you know, you've got your expected goals and expected assists and all of these simulated outcomes. We should incorporate that in South African Test cricket. And what you should do is that we can have all the political X, Y, and Zs for squad selection, but playing 11 performances, we can have simulated metrics. And if you're
expected
in the squad, and
wickets,
if you
expected
all of those things, and if you're at the bottom of that category, irrespective of all other selection criteria, if you were the worst performer, you drop to
you
the bench,
play.
And next person comes in for the next game. Solves all problems. Politically happy, performance happy.
I think that could definitely work, but this would only happen in a world where South African cricket isn't South African cricket. We're just not going to resort to using logic. Logic and the selection process in South African cricket, those things don't go together. Maybe if we're lucky enough, like the rugby ball above my head, Rassie Erasmus comes in and has a little bit of an input, we might be a bit more successful. But
that was a John idea. So I was just sitting there one day and I thought about this.
I mean, it definitely could work. I think we do need to do a bit more in terms of a selection. And at the end of the series, we'll definitely come back to Shukri Conrad, because if the same problems persist, he is solely to blame. The disadvantage of making himself or giving himself all the power in selection is he's the only one to blame thereafter. And if he's willing to take the criticism, then cool.
No,
we'll see what happens. I don't know where we go next if it doesn't work with him. And maybe that's a discussion for another day. But in that second test now, back to it as we've digressed, do we think that we're going to get a few more performances? I mean, Markram failed. Rickleton got a start, didn't do much after. Stubbs got a start in the first innings, fair enough. Second innings, he went. Bavuma played well. I think hands up here. Temba did his job.
Bettingham.
Bettingham got a start and then failed again. So there's a few that need to do a bit more. Verena, same thing. Do we struggle on that Guyana pitch if it is a turner against Warrican? Because Gurukesh Moti bowled a lot of overs that were quite pointless, let's be fair. I mean, I have nothing against him, but he just didn't do a lot of the ball. Warrican, on the other hand, gave all of us trouble.
If I'm being completely honest, from the first test, I'm actually more impressed with West Indies top three. They were there to grind.
And
if you're going to go onto a pitch that's going to be difficult to bat on that performance, I think they would have the upper hand. They looked like they were prepared to grind. They were playing proper test match, top three batting, as opposed to Stubbs going on the attack in the second innings. First innings put out of sorts. DeZorzi as well. So, I mean, DeZorzi, Markram and Stubbs have it in them, definitely.
Yes.
I'm especially DeZorzi and Markram, they look like they may have decent test match temperament. I would like to see Stubbs be tested and pass the test with flying colors. That's my ideal scenario.
Yeah.
Get some confidence moving into the series coming up. More so for us fans and for him to say that, okay, no, Stubbs is now our number three. He's proved that he can grind if we need it. Because he's proven time and time again that he can play a 60 or 52
attacking cricket.
Or 52 or 16. Yeah.
So he can definitely go that way.
I just need to see the other side of his test cricket game.
So, completely agreed.
Yeah. I don't want the second test to be a walkover. I want to see them challenged and I want to see them pass the test. Just to give us confidence. I mean, we don't want to go... we don't want to be in a situation... Obviously, we want to win. Okay?
Yeah.
But I also want the win to be symbolic of something. I don't want it to be won because West Indies played badly. It must be we won because we deserve to win.
That is the primary target now. Any South African cricket fan would, I'm sure, agree with us that this is a building phase. We're trying to get to the next part now, where we need this team or the outline of this team to start forming. So that's not going to happen if we win easy cricket matches, whether we're playing Ireland or whatever it may be. It's not going to come from that. It's going to come from true tests. And if we do get tested, I mean, the worst thing is we give them a lot of flack, and rightly so. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of you guys that have been watching from the West Indies. If you can agree or disagree with us in the comments, but I'm pretty sure you also think that there's a lot of room for improvement in West Indian test cricket, at least. And I think they performed well enough to show that they can give us a proper test in the second one. I mean, Jaden Seals bowled quite well. Coming on him just for
shape.
A second, I must say, exactly.
Shape.
His bowling action is very, very, very honest, if I could put it that way. I've never seen in a long time a bowler keep his head up, directed at the ball, at the batsman, throughout his action. It looks so natural and so beautiful to watch. Like,
doesn't get
followed to him, but
excessive.
I don't like his attitude. but
doesn't get excessive
action,
pace,
brilliant.
But the shape. He was getting beautiful shape.
I think there's a lot about Jaden Seals. Ian Bishop gave him a lot of credit at some point in the commentary, and I think rightly so. He looks like a real, like a proper test bowler. It could get better for him, and I would hope for West Indian cricket's sake that it does. They've got a few things in the batting, as we've mentioned, and I think if all clicks, we could be in for a really good test match, provided that the rain doesn't come back to ruin the show. Now, I'm going to ask you very quickly as we close out here. Do we win the match or is it a draw? I know in the previous one, we both came to the conclusion that we want to win. So we said we think South Africa will win. Another draw or win?
If we get 4 days of cricket, then I think we win.
With the same lineup or without?
No, not with the same lineup. No chance, the same lineup.
So if we play the same lineup, you think we win?
We win, but not convincingly.
Fair enough. I think if we play the same lineup, it's always going to be a struggle, so we probably don't win. Probably ends in a draw, because as good as Kesh and KG are, asking them to take 20 wickets is a lot. No, that's a 10 for on both ends. Yeah. So, I think the next game is going to be good. For all of you in the West Indies that have been watching us, thanks for the support thus far. Keep dropping 100%. The likes. Hit the subscribe button. About 63% of you aren't subscribed, but you've been watching a lot of this. And if you're enjoying it, subscribe. There's more of it to come. We don't hate West Indian cricket. We love it. That's why we want you to do well. And that's why we want you to keep watching us. Now, before we go, we'll be doing a disservice to all our US and Canada watchers. And there have been a few of you. So thanks for that so far. The US beat Canada in that ODI. A massive score of 304 versus Canada's 290. Monark Patel with 121 there. USA's first match in the CWC League 2. And of course, they come out of the win. Canada have played 6 or 8 matches so far, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, the times, they are quite hard for us as South Africans to watch. But good to see US cricket and Canada cricket looking quite strong. And I think that CWC League is a nice idea for the up-and-coming teams or the minnows. And I'm sure that they won't be minnows for long to come up. I don't know if you have any input on that, Kov.
No, 100%. I'm glad that they're starting to play more cricket. I'm hoping that the World Cup is just going to be a springboard for USA cricket, especially with the announcement that in the 2028 Olympics, which is going to be in LA, that cricket is going to be included there as well. So over the next couple of years, I think they're gonna put a lot of effort into spreading the game in the US, just so that the Olympics will be a bigger event than the World Cup was, and they had a very successful World Cup. So I'm mightily grateful and mightily happy that the game is spreading.
Yeah, no, absolutely spot on. I think it's going to be great. I mean, there definitely are a lot of cricket fans in the USA and in Canada, and I'm pretty sure that they've been waiting a long time to see quality cricket on their shores. The MLC came and the Global League came. Things are improving, and onwards and upwards for both our friends in North America. Hopefully at that 2028 Olympics, we'll be able to see some exciting cricket between a lot of the minnows and ourselves, and I would hope that the big teams send full squads to it. It'll be the first Olympics that has cricket in it. Be quite interesting to see what happens there, because also the ICC will not be involved with it. So very, very, very interesting to see what happens on a cricket field that is truly, I would think, neutral. Now, in the next one, hopefully we'll have a fuller house. It'll be at the end of this test series, and I hope that we could chat more about some good things. Hopefully, Kov will keep giving us some of his hot takes and predictions that may or may not come true.
My average is gone now. All the good work from the World Cup is just gone.
Is gone out the door. But yeah, it's a series looks like it could be good, and I will hope to catch you in the next one when we discuss the aftermath of the series as a whole. But until then, you can keep watching us. You can listen to us on all the audio platforms. Hit the subscribe button, as I said. Hit the like button. Drop us a comment. We really want to hear from you. I mean, there's obviously things that you disagree with us about. Let us know. We'll respond to you as best as we can, like we have been doing. And until the next one, please take care. And don't forget to pour a shot. Cheers.